From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Downtown Salt Lake City is in the midst of an economic boom, with new buildings being built, new companies moving in, and new residents flocking to Utah's urban center. Today, we'll speak with Stuart Clayson, Salt Lake City's Director of Economic Development, about what forces are shaping the economy of downtown, what are entrepreneurs looking for, and what can we expect in the future. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, joined today by my very dear friend, Stuart Clayson. Stuart, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. I'm pleasure to be here.
Stuart is the Director of Economic Development for our fine city and has recently, I guess a year ago, came to Salt Lake City
August 5th.
So just over a year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jason.
Has moved here with his lovely wife and son from the wonderful state of Louisiana. What is the state motto of Louisiana?
It's the sportsman's paradise. And when I lived there, Jason, I used to refer to it as the great state of Louisiana. Now I refer to it as the second greatest state.
Yeah.
It's the great state of Utah now.
Because you love Utah now.
We are all in with Utah. Tonight, actually, we're going to see Trampled by Turtles up at Deer Valley in the rain.
Very nice.
And we've been to
Red Butte
in the rain to see Amos Lee.
Yeah.
We love the quality of life aspects of living in Salt Lake City and the state of Utah.
It's a good thing. And maybe, had you been to Salt Lake City or Utah before you came out here last year?
When I was in high school, we took a ski trip on spring break to Park City. We didn't stay in Salt Lake back then. That was, you know, I don't want to age myself. I still want to believe that I am.
I was in the 50s.
Yeah, it was back in 06. But we were in Park City skiing. I actually will share this with you. When I came to interview for my position, I stayed a couple of days after. And, you know, rode tracks up to the U and then walked down and explored downtown. And my wife was calling me one night. I was walking around and she said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, darling, you know, if they offer me this job, we're coming. This is it. And I love Louisiana. It's where I was born and raised. You know, I grew up on a farm there and it's great. But we have so many great things going for us. And it's, you know, if you want to have a family, if you like outdoors, if you like, you know, the things that you and your organization have created in downtown and furthered on the farmer's market, the winter's market, Eve, and now we have Twilight. I mean, we had Beck play here. It's a pretty awesome place.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about, as you are the expert in economic development, what do you think, what's happening in the economy of downtown Salt Lake City? Are we on an upswing? Is it stagnant? Are we losing ground? And I think I kind of think I know the answer to this already. It's one of the leading questions that I like to ask on this show. But from your sort of expert opinion, what do you think is happening with downtown and our economy downtown right now?
I would like to say that the real expertise were displayed in the event that your organization put together a few weeks back on the state of downtown, and you showed the level of occupancy rate in our available commercial space, which is really good. We also have several new buildings that have come online. We have several buildings that have been rehabbed, and we have several, you know, one, for example, the building right behind Ruth's Chris that
the Broadway Media Center.
Yeah, the Broadway Media Center is coming online.
I will say that building, I never thought of it as a very attractive building. I think Ruth's Chris is one of the most beautiful restaurants in downtown Salt Lake City, and they've done some nice stuff to the exterior. But I always was like, oh, all right, it's kind of a so-so building. But Wasatch Commercial has done some really great stuff to the exterior, really cool billboard.
Yeah.
They've moved down what used to be Simmons Radio, and now it's called Broadway Media Group, but really enlivening that little corner of Third South and West Temple.
Yeah, and that's happening all over downtown, as you know. It's you know, I'm responsible for the city at large. the really great thing as we carry out the rest of our work around economic development, knowing that we have partners like a partner like Downtown Alliance mm-hmm. doing the work it does, it kind of makes us not have to focus all our energy on downtown.
And yet we still want you to.
Oh, look, it was a week ago Friday, we were at Craft Lake City in Gallivan. My wife and I were there, and some of our staff were actually volunteering. That's a event that's been going on for 6 years, and it was well attended, and it was exciting to have going on downtown. The other thing I'll say from a job creation standpoint, we just had an exciting announcement that Goldman is creating 350 new jobs mm-hmm. in downtown. And
already a pretty big employer.
Big employer, one of the biggest in Salt Lake City. I think I heard this statistic from some of their local representation that this is Goldman's second largest office in the world?
In North America.
In North America.
Is the way I have heard that.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's like New York and then Salt Lake City. That doesn't happen all the time.
No. The other thing that's pretty exciting around the Goldman issue is that I have found this out. We right now have 21 industrial banks in the state of Utah.
What is – and honestly, I don't know. Mostly I only ask questions that I know the answer to, but I don't know the answer to this one. What is an industrial bank?
An industrial bank is a larger bank that has I think it's the largest classification that a bank can have and has different regulatory oversight. Okay. They carry large deposits. They do large commercial deals.
They're not really consumer bank. It's not like Zions or Wells Fargo.
No, and Zions has – I mean Zions, you can have multiple classifications.
Sure.
Some of our actually, Goldman used to have an industrial bank here, but Ally is an example. Mm-hmm. UBS is mm-hmm. an example. I think Celtic Bank is in that classification.
And they're based here.
Yeah, in the state of Utah. And I'll say this. We have – in terms of total deposits held by state, we're the fifth largest deposits held by banks in the state.
Really?
Yeah. And so I one of the things that I think would be a really exciting – I don't know if it should be a clear objective, but it would be one to look at is maybe we should think about Wall Street of the West.
Yeah. It seems Fidelity has a huge presence
yep.
here. They're very understated. They're kind of yep. under the radar.
I think they have 230,000 square feet in your downtown.
They do. They're actually the largest downtown employer, I think. But they're quiet about it. Goldman has just – it's interesting because they moved here with like 10 people in their office.
Yeah.
And it's just grown and grown and grown. And now – I have heard, again, I can't confirm it 100%, but Salt Lake City is one of the most requested locations for people to transfer to because there is such a great quality of life, and the word has gotten out through the Goldman organization. And it used to be a lot of back office space here, and now we've got analysts and brokers and others working here because they like it, because this is where they want to live.
It is a great place to live. And, you know, as my wife and I explore the rest of our state, you know, for example, we drove up to the Golden Spike.
And the Spiral Jetty. Not very many people who live in Utah have gone all the way to see Robert Smithson's.
Absolutely. We're all in. We also have been up to Ogden to the open house of the new temple. So mm-hmm. we've seen – and that's going to be good for downtown Ogden. The thing that I will say that we need to recognize about downtown Salt Lake is not only an employment center but as a lifestyle destination.
Mm-hmm.
It's the largest metropolitan area within a 500-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last week we hosted the OR show.
Yeah.
Which was – I got a wonderful tour from Mr. Scott Beck, and
yes.
I got to
– Scott's a past guest of this show, actually.
Absolutely.
That won't surprise you.
And I got to also accompany the new executive director of the Governor's Office of Economic Development, Mr. Val Hale, as well as Mr. Jeff Edwards from EDC Utah. And that's just one example of an event that has grown here, that's developed here. And you know, Scott can speak with more confidence on the future of the show. But if you go around talking to exhibitors and buyers, they love coming here.
Yeah.
And they love coming into downtown Salt Lake.
Yeah.
The other exciting things that I'm getting to kind of observe and kind of be a little bit of a part of are the hotel mm-hmm. convention center project, which I think an RFP is about to roll out for that. And that's going to have just a huge impact on the future of downtown and the Performing Arts Center, which I think is now the Eccles
mm-hmm.
Performing Arts
Eccles
Center.
Eccles Theater.
And then earlier this week when I was having a meeting with our good friend Linda Ordell.
We love Linda Wardell at City Creek Center.
And I came here from Louisiana. She's a Georgia girl.
She is from the South, a Southern lady.
And we both were talking about how much we love it here and how this is so much better than the South. Right now, in my old home, it would be almost 100 degrees with like a 90% humidity factor.
This is better than that.
It is so much better. But we were talking about the kind of the progression towards having things to do after hours.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a good base of people who work downtown mm-hmm. that kind of utilize it. And you guys have your finger on that pulse. But the next iteration that we need to really think about is how do we expand the already very successful entrepreneurs around food?
Yeah.
We have several great food type folks, restaurants, some of the best. I mean, and I came from Louisiana and I'm a pretty good cook, I'll say that.
You are. I've tasted your food before.
Okay, good.
I've had some gumbo that you've made before,
absolutely.
So I know.
Absolutely. But I've really enjoyed eating at all of our restaurants. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were joking the other night. We wanted Italian food, and it was a Sunday night. We're like, where can we go just to pick up? And I said, well, we could go to Olive Garden. And nothing against Olive Garden,
no.
But we both – the piece that I ended up cooking, but the piece that we wanted to focus on was we like finding the local,
yeah,
the local restaurants. It's so there's all those things going on. And the other thing that's going on that we're real excited about in Salt Lake City economic development is this, movement towards kind of maker activity, which Craft Lake City mm-hmm. is an event that
those
allows
entrepreneurs who are
yep.
experimenting new products.
Yep, absolutely. And we're excited to see that happen in our downtown.
Yeah.
Statistic that we want to change is in 2012, there were 178 startup companies in the state of Utah that raised $831 million of private capital,
mm-hmm.
either through from around A all the way to late stage venture capitalist dollars. And only I think only 12 million of that was raised by Salt Lake City companies. We feel as though downtown offers a really great space for startup companies that are either grown here out of mm-hmm. the Lassonde Center up at the U
mm-hmm.
Or companies that want to relocate here
mm-hmm.
because it's not just Goldman employees who want to be here. You know, you can in downtown, you can I've heard it said that you can leave the Grand America or any one of our downtown hotels and you can in less than 30 minutes you can be in world class skiing during
yeah.
ski season.
Yeah.
And so having that amenity along with the lifestyle that's being cultivated, the kind of after hours lifestyle that's being cultivated in our downtown, it can create a conducive environment for startup businesses.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they need is they don't necessarily need traditional office space. They could grow into traditional office space, but they don't necessarily need it.
They don't need to start with Class A office space in a big high
yeah.
rise. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about entrepreneurship in the downtown area and any challenges that may be facing downtown on the horizon. We're talking today with Stuart Clayson, Economic Development Director for Salt Lake City, and we will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my good friend, Stuart Clayson. Stuart is the Director of Economic Development for Salt Lake City, a relatively recent transplant to our city from the second greatest state in the union, the great state of Louisiana. Stuart, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. I'm glad we're back from break. During break, I was informed that I'm a little my radio persona is not matching up with.
You're very mellow today. It's not your normal persona.
Well, if I need to spice it up, I will.
Oh, I know.
I wanted to be professional and come off with a good first impression with your listeners here.
So. I want people to know the real you.
Well, there's many layers to.
You're like an onion.
Yeah, you peel me back and. Maybe we can have another opportunity to let them see the real me.
There you go. Okay. A little bit.
Not the
whole thing.
No.
Not everything.
No.
But before we went to a break, we were talking about entrepreneurship. And there are some really cool projects, Church and State, the new hub. Maybe you can talk a little bit about these new kinds of workspaces that seem to be cropping up all over in the downtown area.
And not just all over in the downtown area, all over the world.
Yeah.
Actually, that was one of the projects I worked on before – I got the opportunity to relocate here. I was the one of the founders and then the chairman of a nonprofit organization called Cohabitat Foundation. And we had a shared workspace called Cohab in downtown Shreveport. And I was able to see what happened when you built this community. And there's all different kinds of models.
Right. So I was going to say, what is a shared workspace for people who don't, who haven't heard that term and don't know what that means?
Yeah. Well, there, as I was going to say, there are lots of different models. There's the notion of a business accelerator. Mm-hmm. There is the idea of an incubator, which is that's a well-established notion. What's happened with shared workspaces in bigger urban areas like Chicago, New York, and San Francisco is you had people doing startup activity. You and I saw it on our trip to New York. Mm-hmm. They're doing startup activity. They don't need Class A workspace. And they might be one or two people.
Right.
But they want to be collaborating. They want to be in a community environment where they can share ideas.
In an office community environment.
In an office community, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not sitting in their garage.
Right.
Not sitting in their living room. And maybe they have a concept for a mobile app and they've whiteboarded it, but they need coders to make it happen.
Or a marketing person. Yeah.
Or a designer, or maybe they need an attorney with IP,
right,
capabilities. So that happens in a shared workspace, and it's a notion called co-working.
Mm-hmm.
And we did one of those, and they're good. They can be a hodgepodge of folks mm-hmm. coming in. They just want to be part of the community.
Right.
Then accelerators are kind of a different notion, and you're kind of in a better, you're in a more established position. You're not just kind of walking in off the street saying, yeah, I just want to work with
other people,
and I don't really know what I want to do. You have a clear business plan, an idea. You might have even done a round A, mm-hmm. so you have some cash. You might even have some cash flow. And examples of that, like one example is a group called Y Combinator. And so Y Combinator lets you come into their space, and you can either pay to be in some models, have you pay, some give you free space, but then the space takes an equity position in your company.
Right.
And their job is to give you management advice and guidance and help you either figure out what your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So do you really need to raise money? Do you need to figure out who to sell your product to? What we have going on in our downtown is we have one project that was going on before I came here. That is the Impact Hub.
On State Street in the old Zim's department store.
And they are working on getting that remodeled. And right now they have an annex area mm-hmm. where they're actually operating. And their focus is more social entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. So, and explain that. Social entrepreneurship, what does that mean?
Yeah. As I understand it, I think it's a concept that can be loosely thrown around. I think one example of a social entrepreneur is our friend who's building the air facility downtown.
Mm-hmm. The air center.
The air center.
Right.
And after he made his money off of doing secured internet services, mm-hmm. he did a project on water.
Yeah, people water.
People water.
Yeah.
Or a pretty well-known social entrepreneurship project is Tom's Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of a social component.
To the business
model. To the business model. And then there's also tied to that, there's a new funding aspect to it called crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
And Kickstarter is mm-hmm. one platform that a lot of people know. I think the feds are going to be rolling out some regulations on how that works and how you can qualify investors. But the Impact Hub kind of works in that space.
Right.
And they charge rent. They're online and, they have events and they haven't gotten their permanent space. The department store building that they're looking at is gorgeous. We would love to see that get redeveloped.
Yeah.
Another project that's coming along that is in downtown on 4th South and 3rd. Yeah, 3rd and 4th, right across from
3rd East and 4th South.
3rd East and 4th South. This is in downtown. There is an old church that has been acquired by a couple of entrepreneur investors. And it's actually the oldest licensed church in Salt Lake City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
1856.
But not a church any longer.
not
it was,
a church.
It was a Christian? Was it, yeah. It was like the Downtown Christian Fellowship, I think, or yeah. something like that, yeah.
You know, one of the things that the new owners are letting the present congregation do is they're still meeting there.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, because a lot of the congregation were people who were economically distressed. Mm-hmm. From the downtown, so they're still going to work in the space.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so the space is they're branding the space Church and State.
I've seen the signs. It looks really cool. It's very cool branding. They've done a good job.
It is, and I think you'd have you would really like getting the folks behind it, Ron and Thomas, getting a chance to talk to them. I know you guys, the Downtown Alliance, has had some kind of beginning conversations with them, but their goal is going to focus on recruiting serial entrepreneurs into our downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can be homegrown entrepreneurs, that's fine. But the folks behind this, they've actually been taking several trips to Los Angeles, to Brooklyn and Chicago, and they're trying to recruit companies from those workspaces to come here. Kind of a lesser version of what Tony Hsieh is doing in downtown Las Vegas mm-hmm. with his effort. Because let's just face it, downtown Salt Lake City is way better than downtown Las Vegas.
Duh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
And what they're going to do in the space is they're going to give away
space for entrepreneurs.
Space for entrepreneurs for free. Now, they have to apply mm-hmm. and they have to meet certain criteria, but they're going to give it away. And another portion of the space will be available for rent because I think they have about 30,000 square feet in the building.
So it's a pretty good sized building.
Yeah,
but a cool building.
But their whole goal is to focus on creating this space for entrepreneurs to work in a friendly environment. So no one's trying to take an equity position in mm-hmm. their company like a Y Combinator model. No one is. It's not a real estate place.
They're just there to help.
They're just there to help. And it's real exciting to see what's happening there. I think they're in the demo mm-hmm. process. They've got their business license. So we have those two spaces. And I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone else, but I know of at least two other projects in downtown where people are looking at doing something similar.
Yeah.
Because it's an exciting new way to work.
Well, and it's, you know, looking at urban planning and people who spend a lot of time thinking about this that are much smarter than I am, that connectivity of different industries and different minds and creative people coming together is really the genesis of all the future services and products that are going to fuel our economy. And so the news that you bring to us today about these companies coming here and having this interaction and that social energy and that confluence of intellect and capital is really exciting and I think speaks well for the future of our downtown.
It is. And the thing that is interesting, the social entrepreneurship piece that the Hub is focusing on is a really good space because it's this notion of what I call kind of new capitalism. You know, capitalism yeah. of the 80s when I was a wee lad, it was, you know, I've got to have it all,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you watch movies like Wall Street, it's just everything in excess. I have friends who, when they were in their undergrad, they lived on, you know, fully sustainable farms and then they went to Wharton.
Yeah.
So it's this notion that it's okay to make money, but you have a social obligation. There's something you need to give back, mm-hmm. which I think younger people are very attuned to, and they like being in a downtown environment. Church and State, what they're focusing on is they recognize that software and hardware, they need to collide.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a convergence. Because people building hardware, they don't necessarily, you know, designers and people in that space don't necessarily understand the software that it needs to support them. But bringing them together in a shared environment where they can kind of talk through things and they can figure out a common language,
mm-hmm.
that creates an output that's pretty exciting. So both of those projects are really exciting. And I think it brings the type of the profile of person we want in our downtown. People who are open, inclusive, ready for excitement, but not wanting to cause anyone harm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take from our downtown anyway.
Well, Stuart, thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
We appreciate it. Thanks for your good work for the city. You really have a stellar reputation in the business community. People really appreciate what you're bringing to Salt Lake City and your efforts. And so on behalf of the Downtown Alliance, thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you. And I will say this. It is very humbling to be part of this community made up of some of the most amazing people I meet. On a regular basis, I meet people who could go anywhere in the world and be top of the game, but they choose to be here, and it's pretty awesome to just be part of that. So the nice words you say are great. I return it back. I'm just humbled and grateful to be a part of this community.
Thanks, so thank you.